time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Everybody hates us. Everybody hates us. That's the whole point.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
The Big Ten has a foxy mistress, and ESPN has a little Southern on the side.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Wetzel, I ain't crossing the street for Bud Light.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And you know, one of the most traumatic things that can happen to a child, and we're all children of college football here, is when your parents divorce. You know, it'll rock you. And Pat, I'm wondering, how are you getting through the pending Big Ten ESPN divorce? They've been together 40 years. And now no longer. Will you emotionally survive having to watch Big Ten football on a different channel?
You know, they seemed like such a perfect couple. And so you just didn't see this coming, you know, seemed very happy with one another. And I have sought some counseling, you know, that's been provided. They've got support people standing by to help. No, nobody gives a damn what channel the games are on, right? The only reason anybody cares is because the revenue drives all the other decisions about who's in what conferences. The fans don't care, and I've had many people say it, and I agree with them. We'll watch the games whatever they're on, right? They don't care. There are certain kind of rituals and realities, traditions, I guess, that went along with the Big Ten and ESPN, mostly coming right out of Lee Corso, putting on somebody's headgear, and then going straight to the Big House or Kinnick Stadium or State College or wherever, right into a Big Ten game. But it's okay. We all have working remote clickers. We can find it on another channel. It's all going to be fine.
Ross, is it ESPN's fault and their mistress, the SEC? Or is it the Big Ten and the Fox? I mean, who's cheated on whom first? That's what we really want to know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that if ESPN and the Big Ten, if we're calling it a divorce, then then is it because the Big Ten has a foxy mistress and ESPN has a little Southern on the side, you know? And I think that's what's going on. I think that analogy works. I think that's exactly what's kind of going on here. The SEC has kind of hooked itself to ESPN, and Fox has hooked itself to Big Ten and vice versa. And that's where we are. I think I was making some calls on this the last couple of days about what people within the industry think about this. And there's like, you know, there's a lot of like words like it's jarring and shocking and, you know, risky. And I found that one to be the most interesting, right? That the ESPN is going to, or Big Ten's going to have some kind of negative impact because they're not featured as much on ESPN talk shows. And maybe game day doesn't go to Big Ten sites as much. And so that's interesting. I had kind of heard that some of the coaches were a little concerned up there from a recruiting advantage, a recruiting perspective, of course, right? They're always focused on the recruiting.
Yeah. So I think they really were looking like, I think the Big Ten was looking for a sister wife there to Fox. it's a real big step. To Pat's point, yeah. I mean, you're going to watch, right? And here's the big thing. The Big Ten, if you weren't following, is going to sign a deal that has an NBC game at night and a CBS game at 3:30. And they're going to be on Fox at noon. This is not, we're going to Amazon Prime. This is not, we're going to Hulu or something that doesn't. This is Fox, NBC, CBS, or Fox, CBS, NBC. This is like a deal out of 1965. I don't know whenever Fox came along. This is broadcast, broadcast, broadcast. If you can't find Fox, CBS, NBC, you're hopeless, okay? So this is an old school deal. You will find your games. It doesn't really matter. Now, the don't talk about will we ignore is interesting because the cautionary tale here is the National Hockey League, which tried to leave. They did leave ESPN, went to NBC, and immediately got ignored to unbelievable levels. I used to say ESPN treats women's college basketball as a exponentially bigger deal than the NHL, when it's just by no metric is that accurate, right? But they're here. We got Gino REM on live. We have Muffet McGraw on live. They would never interview a national Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, never interviewed on ESPN, right? So that's the cautionary tale. And like MLS is trying this. They've went to a streaming service. And my guess is they will be completely ignored by ESPN. So there is that. However, A, does that matter as much in today's media? And B, for football purposes, I want to get to basketball in a minute because I think it's a different question on basketball. They don't really talk college football that much on ESPN now. They do during game day. They do during College Football Live. But if you watch, you know, Stephen A. Smith in the morning or Mike Greenberg's Get Up, or they're talking NFL, and Brooklyn Nets and Lakers, and then more NFL, and that's pretty much it. You got to have something crazy, and they'll trot Feinbaum out there for a couple minutes to say something. I don't think they really get a whole lot of talk on those, and could you possibly ignore the Big Ten anyway? Like, I don't even know if you can, like, how do you ignore the Big, if you're going to talk college football, you can't just sit there and go, oh, we're just talking SEC. So those are my thoughts. Pat, you can start on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, those are valid points for sure. I do think, look, I always said ESPN stands for Excessive Self-Promotion Network. So they promote what they put on Big as Life and bigger than anything else. So there will be some trade-off there. There will be. You're right that, like, the talk show stuff already, it's all just about the Cowboys and the Patriots, all right? Or whatever the NFL topic du jour is. They do work in college sports, usually when college sports does something stupid. Or you're getting ready to have Alabama play Georgia. But, like, on game day, on the front page of ESPN.com on Saturdays, you probably aren't seeing the Big Ten game as the thing that's promoted right there. It's going to be whatever's going to be the noon game on ESPN, and then it's going to be the 3:30 game, and then it's going to be the 8 o'clock. So you're going to get a lot of SEC day of game stuff. But you, to your point, Dan, you cannot just throw away the tens, if not hundreds of millions of fans of Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, you know, from a viewership, listenership, readership standpoint. So you can't just pretend they don't exist. You can play favorites to a degree, but you can't completely ignore them. I know from working there, they can do their best to ignore your league, but you can't ignore something as fundamentally important as the Big Ten and its place in the college sports hierarchy.
In how we consume stuff has changed, right? I was talking to a Big Ten administrator yesterday morning and trying to get his feelings on the split with ESPN. And he said, look, you know, 5 years ago, our coaches would have been completely freaked out. And a lot of our administrators would have been completely freaked out. But just in 5 years, just since 2016, 2017, we've consumed news and information in such a different clip, especially young, you know, especially recruits, you know, high school and college kids. He said, you know, he gave me the example of walking into a locker room and, you know, 10 years ago, every TV in the locker room was on and was on ESPN SportsCenter and everybody was watching, you know, and now everybody's on their phone. You know, everybody's at the locker on their phone. And so it's all through like social media, especially the young people. It's all through social media. And right now the Big Ten has a social media account. Every school has a social media account. Fox certainly has a social media account. And they could push all that stuff on there. So there seems to be not a big worry from Big Ten people, maybe a little bit concerned from the coaches, but it's kind of not like it used to be how we just consume things. So I don't know that it's as big of a deal as it would have been just 5-7 years ago, but it still is jarring to a lot of people. And I think, though, it is so indicative of the time we're in right now, the era we're in college sports, where out with the old traditions and all these old kind of archaic things and look toward the money, right? And that's what happened here.
Yeah, I agree. A vibrant TikTok is more valuable in recruiting than being on having them talk about your game on daytime cable television. Like, these kids aren't watching. Yeah, so I certainly agree with that. I don't think they can ignore it totally. And look, the state's back. You know, I think the interesting part of this is dates back to, you know, about I don't know, X number of years ago when Jim Delaney thought ESPN lowballed them on a deal, and he said, I'm going to start my own network. And it was sort of a big joke. We're going to have the Big Ten Network. I remember writing a joke column, like, what are we showing on this network, right? Like, you know.
Right, I think 2004. Like, yeah, 04.
2004, yeah. It's like, you know, what, beach volleyball from Iowa City. And, you know, what exactly is this 24-hour network? And, you know, and I remember they tried to pitch it. We're going to really promote a lot of the academic programs of the Big Ten. That was my favorite. Watch, like, some Purdue kid like do a science experiment or something, yeah, like that.
We're going to hear from an esteemed engineering professor at Purdue now for an hour. That, yeah. No, we're not.
That never happened. That never took off. But they got in bed with Fox, and here Fox is running. They didn't get beat. The Big Ten didn't have media consultants. They said Fox do it. So you have this wild situation where Fox is listening to a bid pitch from their arch rival, ESPN, ABC, and trying to determine what's going on. And you have the backdrop of the Big Ten leading the alliance against the playoff a year ago when, you know, one of the holdups was, would ESPN maintain full ownership of the playoff like they do now? Or does the playoff go the NFL playoff route where you're on every network? And that was, and obviously I think we're heading to every network, but if you open the window, ESPN, I think, had some kind of, like, they had to get a concession from ESPN that wouldn't be the case. So here's Fox blocking that, then leading the charge to raid the Pac-12, weaken that, and then bang, and that's 1 year after the Big 12 says ESPN tries to destabilize us. So you have, you know, you're leading in this thing where these TV networks are running everything on this.
That to me is the alarming part of this. Not like, how do you find your games, which channel is that college leaders are being paid a ton of money to be led around by the nose by what the TV networks want, you know, and told, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, commissioner. And then you tell the ADs and that's what we're going to do. All right. And so then those are the marching orders from Fox and or ESPN. And it's pretty remarkable. Again, this goes, I think, to the overall lack of centralized leadership and a leadership vacuum in college sports. That, okay, nobody's in charge. Here come the network execs because they got the bags of cash. And they're going to lead in a way that's very self-interested for them. And I think that's where we're at with that. And, yeah, Dan, to your point, carrying that, you know, a step further was Fox getting USC and UCLA helps Fox and helps the Big Ten, but also knowing, well, we're not gonna be interested in the Pac-12 anymore. We'll leave that diminished product. Yeah, ESPN, you can go get that. Go ahead. Go have the Pac-12, but it's not as good.
It makes NBC and CBS, as we said, more desperate to get in on the Big Ten. The only network that could afford to not have the Big Ten was ESPN because they already have the SEC.
Right.
In exclusivity. And then if they want to add in Pac-12 and Big 12, we'll get to that. But the others sat there and said, if you're NBC, I can't pair Pac-12 games around NBC. I'm not going to get any rating. I can't pair. So they gutted the competition. We've been saying this for, you know, since it happened. They didn't just add an addition to their house with USC and UCLA. They tore the addition off the other house.
Yep.
And dilapidated the house. They increased demand by limiting supply. It was a genius move by Fox. It runs afoul. I'll put my Jim Phillips hat on. Any kind of collegiality of college sports. It's absurd. This is what we're doing? Wait, what are we doing? And I agree. It's bull. It's crap. It sucks. Yep. But this is business, right? And Fox just played this business. You know, Ross, do you think Fox, that's why the Big Ten held up on the playoff 8 months ago?
Yeah.
Is Fox told them you ain't doing it?
Well, yeah, I think that we know now that Kevin Warren's kind of excuse for not being for this playoff model, which was he wanted Power Five automatic berths instead of top six conference champions get in. And instead, he wanted Power Five champions. It made no sense. Right, because the Big Ten would always be in the top six. I think there was 1 year in 20 when you go back where the Big Ten champion wouldn't have been in the top six. And it's like, What is he doing? And then we kind of thought throughout that there's something else. Maybe it's he wants to get his TV deal done probably first. Maybe it has to do with Fox and just getting to the end. I think we know now that it's kind of all that the real reason was one, he probably did want to get his new TV deal done, but also it's that him and George Kolobkov from the Pac-12, I know he feels this way. They want to get, in a way, it seems like they want to get to the end of the deal where it's opened up to the market where, you know, it's kind of anybody's game and they can give it to any platform. But I'm pretty sure, and I think Kevin Warren has kind of hinted at it. Pat, you were at Big Ten Media Day. I think he said this on the podium. He said something about multiple networks having the CFP expanded playoff. And I think in order to do that, you get to the end of the deal. You let the deal run out with ESPN. And I think that's what he was thinking the whole time. Whether Fox told him to do that, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, then I think that's what probably is the really underlying reason, not that the big Power 5 champion, not getting every Power 5 champion an automatic berth, because I think everybody knew that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I had no doubt about that. I think that getting multiple broadcast partners, i.e. Fox, involved in the playoff was very much part of it, and I'm sure that was Fox encouraging Kevin Warren's stance there.
Yeah, and look at the Big Ten's deal. They had three different networks, and I'm sure that's kind of indicative of what they want on the CFP playoff as well, as to have as many networks as they can, kind of like, as Dan mentioned, the NFL, you know, how the NFL playoff structure is with you know, whatever, three or four networks involved.
Yeah. And this will be four, and I think you'll have the same deal for all four. CBS will NBC, Fox, and ESPN, ABC, right?
ABC. So. There's a pretty good buzz that CBS will certainly at least, be pretty interested in expanded playoffs. So it feels like you'll at least have ESPN, Fox, and CBS, and you wonder about maybe NBC getting in the mix, or I don't know, some kind of other streaming, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I like it because it's less streaming, more easy to find. It's easier to click back and forth when you're not streaming. You know, like it's when you're on TV, you can get back and forth to a game within like half a second. And if you're trying to watch three games at once, and you know, it's not that little couple second delay with streaming, but if it's just not as good if you're trying to. All right, let me go through a couple things because there's a lot on this deal, right? But I want to get to Big Ten basketball, and I know these deals are not made by basketball. I think this hurts Big Ten basketball. Yeah. I think football, they're going to find their game. It's all over. Basketball, it's a winter night. It's February 6th. I want to watch some college basketball. ESPN. I am trained my entire life to go to one network to watch basketball. I understand the NCAA basketball tournament is on CBS. I understand and Turner and all the others. I know they're showing games on FS1. I know they're showing games on College Sports or CBS Sports Network and the SEC and all that. I automatically go to ESPN. And if it's a game, I'm watching. You take the Big Ten off ESPN in basketball, I think it has I'm not saying this is going to kill Big Ten basketball, but I'm not liking that if I'm those coaches. Am I too old school on this, or is that it? Because it's like, Michigan State was playing Indiana tonight. I watched Baylor play Kansas instead because that was what was on.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, people can still find their games. My question is, what's Fox's appetite for showing college basketball? You know, they've had a deal where they've shown a lot of Big East. But, I'm like you, Dan, obviously. I mean, my default is ESPN, ESPN2. And that's what I'm going to watch Monday through Thursday nights during the winter. But the other thing with the Big East package on Fox is, like, they're starting games at 6. I'm not ready to watch college basketball at 6 o'clock. Maybe they'll change that window if they get the Big Ten and figure they don't have to. You know, the Big Ten may not go along as easily with 6 p.m. tip-offs Eastern time, but it's not a good development regardless. I'm not sure it's a really bad development, but it's not a good development if you're the basketball coaches in that league. It's one more signal that, you know what, y'all don't matter that much.
Yeah, I wonder what basketball coaches in the league, you know, we talked earlier about football coaches having concerns, but I imagine basketball coaches in that league have even more concerns. I think it was the number cited to me was 80, that ESPN had 80 Big Ten games. That seems like a lot, but that's what kind of the number that was floated to me. So where do those games go? Fox hasn't had an appetite for it, and NBC hasn't had an appetite for it for college basketball. So you think CBS picks up some? Big Ten Network, FS1? Does FS1 put some on?
FS1, yeah, because FS1 did a fair amount of stuff.
Yeah,
they'll do it. They did a fair amount of the Big East games and stuff.
This would be a boon for FS1. And I think I say that if you're really into the team, you're going to find your game.
Right.
I'm kind of just talking about the general college sports fan, and a lot fewer people follow college basketball all the time, where they're like, oh, the Michigan State game's on tonight. I want to see. They're in Breslin. I got to watch that, right? There's more of just, oh, all right, I'm home. What's on?
Right.
Hey, here's a college basketball game. So, and as ESPN has more hockey in there, and maybe it's more SEC or Big 12 games and all that, I just think basketball is a little bit different. Again, all these coaches are going to get rich off the football money. Everyone's getting rich. So we'll do that. One thing that is clearly not true is the NCAA's prediction that fans would immediately stop watching college sports once their players were getting name, image, and likeness deals. Remember that one? They argued it in actual federal court. Apparently, the very smart people at these TV networks do not think that is true. They keep throwing more and more money at that. Oh, go figure. Nobody really cares about the NIL. Nobody really cares. All right. Couple other winners or people to discuss. Pac-12. My case, this is great for the Pac-12. It's the first bit of good news since USC and UCLA left. Sure would like an automatic bid to that playoff right now, but I don't have it. But what I do have is ESPN needs late night programming. I can offer them the 10 or 10:30 window on Friday night and Saturday night, 13 straight weeks, 26 nationally televised games, prime time in the West, and the late night game in the East, and it's drift across the country. Nobody else can do that. They did not have the Big Ten option now to put stack, you know, Wisconsin at USC or something like that at that game time. Not worth what's happened, but this is it's a bit of good news for the Pac-12 as they move forward. Correct,
Pat? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got a big dog that actually is interested in them and cares about them and will prioritize them to a degree. I mean, they won't be prioritized like the SEC, but that's okay. They wouldn't be anyway. So
they got to show something at that time of night.
Yes, they do, because people will watch it. And I went back when I did the whole desirability ratings and looked at, you know, years of those sports media watch ratings. And I was surprised that, you know, like Stanford, Washington State on Friday night, million viewers. Washington, Arizona State on a Saturday night, million viewers. More, you know, 1.3, 1.4, whatever. I mean, people watch those late games. You and I do, you know, the three of us do, because we're degenerates and we love that stuff. But so does everybody else, especially the further west you get, because that's their prime viewing time.
And they get broadcast in every bar, crowded bar. Right. I mean, people are watching that aren't on any Nielsen rating. So
Yeah. So no, it's good for the Pac-12. Here's my only question there. Obviously, ESPN needs the Pac-12, but Pac-12 also very much needs ESPN. Can ESPN say, well, yeah, we're going to take you, but here's our deal, and it's not a great deal?
Well, yeah, the competition, right? What competition they have? CBS and NBC have just probably been taken out, basically, especially if they plan on bidding on getting involved in the CFP expansion. They're probably not going to be worried about going to get the Pac-12, I wouldn't think. Fox, right, just is partners with major partners with the conference that just stole the Pac-12's two best brands. So, and they have this huge chunk of the Big Ten. So are they going to be a real competitor to get the Pac-12? So the problem is the price, right? ESPN might get this on the low, which isn't good. Isn't good for the Pac-12. I had somebody, he's now retired, but he was certainly involved with a lot of these negotiations through the years. And I brought that up with him, and he said, you should realize something. ESPN is tough, And if there's no competition, you don't want to be in that environment negotiating with an ESPN with no competition, because they are not going to overpay. And I think they kind of showed that with the Big Ten, that they wouldn't budge on outbidding NBC for the primetime spot. So it's good for Pac-12. It certainly is. But there is this also this issue of, wow, they might have to settle for a pretty low number, or lower than they thought, because of the lack of competition.
This wasn't going to be much money either way.
Yeah.
Where does the Big 12 fit in on all this, Ross?
Yeah, they're still 2 years away from their negotiating window. And so the Pac-12 will have, you know, it's going to probably end up being, they'll have like a year and a half head start on them. And they'll be able to get a number, bring it back to their 10 remaining schools. Then some of those 10 remaining schools that are interested in other conferences will probably go to those other conferences and say, this is our number. What do you predict or whatnot for your league? And obviously that's the Big 12. So the Big 12 can't really come up with a specific number right until maybe a year and a half from now, maybe 2 years from now. So does the Pac-12 keep itself together for a few years, like a short-term deal? I don't know. I think if the number the Pac-12 gets is too low, then maybe you might have schools really seriously think about leaving and joining the Big 12. I just don't buy into the whole thing about the Big 12 being that much more valuable than Pac-12. Just talking to like TV people and data people, it seems like both conferences, each conference thinks it's more valuable than the other and has a number that is, you know, higher than anybody else could imagine that either conference will bring in. So I don't know. It should be interesting to monitor what happens. And then you have the whole Texas Oklahoma stuff, right? That I think if they were to leave a year early and join the SEC in 24, it would have to be through some negotiation with ESPN and the Big 12's new media rights deal, probably.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like if you're the Big 12, obviously, Brett Yormark said, you know, unequivocally that everything they do for the next 2 years is to get momentum for their media rights negotiations. But part of that is going to be observing what happens with the Pac-12 and their media rights. And to Ross's point there, like if it's uninspiring, then can you go and say, go to Arizona and Arizona State or whoever, Oregon, Washington, say, hey, well, there's your deal. We can do you better if you come over here. So, you know, I think that it's so funny. I mean, you talk to people in every single conference. They're all waiting to see what the other conference is going to do, right? So it's on the Big Ten's plate right now. And it's basically done, and we'll get that information probably next week, right? So we'll finally know what the deal is there. So then the Pac-12 will say, okay, now we can go forward with ESPN. And then maybe they go forward, too, with some combo with the ACC. And so the ACC has more information there. And then the Big 12 can say, okay, now we know our deal. And the SEC, once they know what the Big 10's number is, can say, well, okay, that's interesting. If we go to 9 games, and to Ross's point, if we bring in Oklahoma and Texas early, what can you do for us? So there's a lot of dominoes that are lined up waiting for the first push, and that's coming from the Big 10.
Can the SEC get ESPN back to the table with two new members, one, you know, a new inventory with 9 games, and show them the Big 10 number and the Big 10 deal? And on top of that, right, what happens to Notre Dame? Like, Notre Dame will be probably, after a lot of this we're talking about, they'll come after all this and probably renegotiate with NBC in some way and probably get a pretty big chunk of cash. So can the SEC do the same with ESPN? That's an SEC administrator tell me this morning, say, wouldn't it behoove ESPN to make sure that the SEC keeps pace with the Big Ten, right? So maybe they do come to the table, but it probably is going to take them adding that 9th conference game, which, you know, without launching into all of that, the conference is kind of split on right now.
So speaking of NBC and Notre Dame, strikes me that NBC is now absolutely desperate to keep Notre Dame, who they've been with since 91, because to build a second or third tier to pay this much for a second or third tier or third choice Big Ten game. They need that. They want to become Saturday. They want to be a big, they want to be a college football network, right?
Yeah. Destination.
Destination. Like now, their NFL show. Sunday night. What is it? Sunday night in America?
Or Sunday night football.
It'll be Saturday night in America. Yeah.
Saturday night football.
There you go.
It leads into their local newscast. It leads into Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Right. Their problem on Saturday football is that they're committed to their evening news. I asked someone about that. Would you ever get rid of the NBC Saturday night evening news, right? And just bleed one game into the other? Absolutely not. Like, that's
really, wow.
NBC, the evening news is like that's the third rail of these networks.
What time is that? Is that like at 7 or 6:30?
6:30 p.m. Yeah.
Okay. It's like a half an hour.
Half hour. And the local news, like the local affiliates make all their money on local news.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where the car ads are. And so they need their 11 o'clock and their 6, and they need their 6:30 NBC because it doesn't quite work, right? The way ESPN can just one game ends, next game.
Yeah. Yep.
They can't do that. So that's an interesting thing. But to me, you know, Notre Dame is currently making somewhere in the 20s, I believe, like $22 million right now in TV money. You know, I read a story. They were targeting like $75 million, which is great. I'm targeting a lot of things.
Yes.
But Notre Dame's going to make a nice. Notre Dame is in a very great. They're sitting back, and to me, NBC, you don't pay all this money for the Big Ten at night if you're not going to have Notre Dame at least 7 or 8 games a year as part of that. You don't commit to college football and then lose Notre Dame. So my thought is they're going to get a nice deal that at least makes it close enough that they don't need to go to the Big Ten.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of been the thought process all along. You know, when the earth first moved with USC and UCLA, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, if the money's going to be that big and they want Notre Dame, Notre Dame's going to have to go. You know, it was almost for about a 4 or 5 day window there was just this assumption. Well, Notre Dame, the financials will force Notre Dame that way. And I think Notre Dame felt all along, we'll wait and see, because I think they were pretty confident they're going to get a good deal from NBC, and this hastens that. It enhances the possibility of that, doesn't hasten it. But, yeah, now look, okay, NBC is more invested in college football. NBC has provided the, quote-unquote, shoulder programming. And is it going to sink more into this and probably get more ad revenue for an extended period of time? And that's going to help Notre Dame's case. I think this is all playing out the way Jack Swarbrick and Notre Dame, which does love its independence, hoped that it would. We'll see what the numbers turn out to be when they get around to their negotiations. But I think they feel pretty confident that they're going to, if not get Big Ten money, they're going to get close enough to get Big Ten money to make it okay to still be an independent.
There were some nervous people in South Bend, I know, during the Big Ten negotiations, especially when they found out that Fox representatives were in on the meetings and were hearing about it. From what I understand, we're hearing about it from some NBC people who obviously walked into the meeting and there was Fox executives just staring back at them. And so I think there was fear that NBC wouldn't be involved. And I think there was a big relief yesterday, a couple of days ago. And Jack Swarbrick, I think, said it publicly, you know, that it was a perfect situation for Notre Dame. And it really is. And NBC's investment in college football. And now there's, you know, is great for Notre Dame. And now there's a number. Now there's a number out there that, you know, everybody can kind of do the math. And Jack can go to NBC and say, okay, we like this number right here, you know.
So Notre Dame cherishes its independence. It loves being different. It loves being independent. It likes the whole thing. It believes that the key to its football success is its ability to recruit across the country. It wants to play games all over the country and all of that. It wants to be independent. Probably anybody would. But there are three pillars to keeping its independence. One is an ability to schedule. One is the money that we just talked about. If it's close enough, they'll be fine. They can match it. They also do not spend as much on athletics. They have about $150 million athletic budget. Ohio State's got a $210 million. So, you know, there's a little less they need. And then there's access to the playoff. And as long as the SEC is playing the bodyguard, the muscle for Notre Dame and saying, we're going to go at large bids, we're going to have a lot of at large bids, Notre Dame is sitting there saying, we're good. And SEC knows if they don't do that, if they were ever to go with the, remember Jim Delaney's old plan where you have to win the conference championship to play in the playoff, right? That's what forces Notre Dame into a conference, because they lose their access. Once you lose your access, you can't recruit. You know, we've said this on this thing. There's a reason Gonzaga basketball gets all these great players. They have access. Doesn't matter what league they're in. If you're good enough, you can have, you know, Memphis, a lot of basketball teams. If you have access, so they should keep their access on whatever this playoff's going to be. It's either going to stay at four, which is highly unlikely, or it's going to go big and there's going to be plenty of access, improved access. The only other thing is the scheduling, and they're hooked in with the ACC. And so ACC is giving them five games a year. And so basically Notre Dame's conference is five ACC games, Navy, Stanford, and USC.
Yep.
That's your eight games, and then you got four more you can do whatever you want with. They play, you know, whatever, however they want to fill it in. They've got scheduling guarantees, including a whole bunch of games in the southeast part of the country where they want to be. They've got enough money to stay independent, afford everything, and they got access to the playoff. They ain't going anywhere.
Right. It's lining up for Notre Dame to get what it wants, which then will force some choices. I think it definitely slows the momentum for further destabilization of the whole conference landscape. And then the Big Ten has said, okay, if we're not getting Notre Dame, is there really anybody else we truly want? And they have to make that decision. And then that's where Oregon and Washington maybe don't have anywhere to go, and Stanford doesn't have anywhere to go, and okay, the Pac-12 will stick with you. You know, it could be a major stabilizing factor.
And if they haven't invited anybody, if they haven't invited them yet, you know, the Washington and Oregon, and they're about to, you know, close this TV deal, which I'm sure there'll be a clause in there about expansion and prorated shares. But still, if they haven't invited them yet, it's kind of hard to believe that they would invite them, you know, in the near future. I'm not talking about 5+ years from now, because at that point, yeah, we could have a lot of change. But I do feel like unless that Pac-12 number comes back really low and teams freak out and want to jump to the Big 12, it does feel like we've stabilized, fingers crossed.
Anything else about this leak and what you're hearing from college sports insiders that stood out to you over the last week? Could be literally anything.
Well, here's my question. I don't know. I just wonder, we talked about this some, if the makeup of who you are watching as the faces of college football changes based on TV and league alliance. For instance, I wrote about this, you know, two of the mainstays of game day are Big Ten athletes: Kirk Herbstreit of Ohio State, Desmond Howard of Michigan. Do we reach a point where ESPN says, you know, we want this to be like the SEC network. We want some SEC faces on there. We want David Pollack and Greg McElroy and Takeo Spikes or whatever instead on those, in those chairs. And does Fox look at its big noon kickoff show and say, well, all right, USC's coming in, so we can keep Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, but Brady Quinn doesn't really fit here, and they don't want to be a part of the big, Notre Dame doesn't want to be part of the Big Ten. Let's go get Desmond Howard or Kirk Herbstreit. I don't know whether it would come to that, but that's certainly the way it is on BTN and on SEC Network and on ACC Network, because every analyst is from a school that was in that league.
That's a good point. Does it get to the point where the networks basically somewhat exclusively have their former conference or conference affiliated people only? That would really publicly, that would be kind of be a public proof of, yeah, this is where we're headed. It's a Fox conference and it's ESPN conference. I was talking to the Bob Thompson, the former Fox Sports Network president, and he was telling me, he was trying to debunk the whole Fox versus ESPN battle. You know, he kind of said like, it's not real. They're trying to get the best games. It's how it works. And also he said, two 16-team conferences don't cover all the markets that you need. You know, ESPN and Fox want FBS to be healthy. They want the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12 to be healthy. They need those markets. And I said, well, what would it take for two conferences to have all the markets? And he basically said, 22 to 24 team conferences. And maybe that's where we're heading. A lot of people have estimated that we're going to get to 220 team conferences. Forbick said that again on earlier this week publicly, so that he expects Big Ten and SEC to get to 20. Thompson said you need at least, you know, more like 22, 24 to cover all your markets. But it's interesting. It does feel like we slowly are getting to that point where we have two leagues, and it looks more like an NFL model and semi-pro and all that stuff.
Some interesting parts of this is SEC's lead analyst, or CBS's lead analyst, Gary Danielson, during the SEC years, he went to Purdue. So he's a Big Ten guy. The CBS football song, which became synonymous with the SEC, is now going to be played for Big Ten games. They used to play it before the Sun Bowl, too, which is
the one Army and only Navy. CBS Bowl. Yeah.
It's their song. It's not the SEC
yeah.
song.
Yeah.
I don't know how. There are some people that are actually chapped about this, of course.
Yes. Yes. And ESPN's working on I need to check in on this. They're working on a song specifically for, you know, their big SEC game that would be kind of, you know, comparable to what we heard, you know, the CBS affiliate song with. So it should be interesting, some kind of a new jingle.
Much like Sir Big Spur. You do not control your song. At USC, South Carolina does not control its mascot. You do not control your song. ESPN held on to the NHL on ESPN song for like 18 years. It didn't get played anywhere. Then they brought it back, and everyone was excited because people used to love that song. So, yeah, we're down to it. I hope we do not go to the point and the concept, because I can't stand it, that only, like, because Desmond Howard played at Michigan, he's not capable of analyzing an SEC team.
Like, yeah. It's just stupid. Come on. Right? It is stupid.
And he also played for the Green Bay Packers and was a Super Bowl MVP. Like, what are we doing here, right? Come on.
That's, you know, it's symptomatic of where we are with a lot of our media. We just want people that we feel like are on our side telling us what we want to hear.
Yeah, this would be a bad thing if it's just the SEC. If ESPN is just saying SEC teams should get in, like, we just go Fox News and MSNBC and they just argue over who should get the point. We don't need that.
We do not need that.
We do not need that. Although that'll draw more people here to the College Football Inquirer, because we speak the truth.
That's
everybody hates us. Everybody hates us. That's the whole point.
Yeah, we were fielding complaints earlier today.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, very fascinating developments. The TV networks and... Again, we can joke and just say, look, I'm going to find the game, but this stuff determines literally who's in what conference, whether the conference exists, and what kind of playoff we're playing. So doesn't seem to matter, but it matters a whole hell of a lot. But
that's where I am. Like, with that, and you say to the fans, they're like, oh, to the media, she needs to stop talking about it. Well, if it weren't so damned important about where the future of the sport was going, we might, but we have to. Well, here's something, Dan and Ross, since we thrive on conflict and cattiness here at the podcast, we have a little bit brewing in the Bluegrass State at the University of Kentucky. Mark Stoops is starting to understand how Bear Bryant felt when he was coaching alongside Adolph Rupp and nobody paid attention to Bear Bryant in the football program. So Kentucky is playing basketball right now in the Bahamas, right? They're on this exhibition tour. Their games are on TV, like they're on the SEC network. And John Calipari, who has been known to promote his team and himself rather vigorously, said, and this was quoted by Kyle Tucker, The Athletic, this is a basketball school. Alabama is a football school. So is Georgia. No disrespect to our football team. I hope they win 10 games and go to bowls, but this is a basketball school. So Mark Stoops, his colleague, tweets, basketball school? I thought we competed in the SEC. #4 straight postseason wins.
Oh,
yeah. We know that Kentucky basketball's on a two-game postseason losing streak, one of which was to St. Peter's.
Firing shots within the own athletic department. Gotta love it.
Delicious. Yeah. Delicious. Calver Stoops.
Yeah.
What an insult to Kentucky football. I hope they win 10 games.
10 games, right?
Pat them on the head. Look.
Yeah. How about they win 12?
Bowl, boys? Yeah, right. We're trying to win national championships and have a half the NBA All-Star game. Kentucky alums, you try to win your 10 games.
Yeah, that was all right. Back in the day in the 50s, I didn't explain that very well, but when Bear and Adolph Rupp were both coaching there and they were both doing well, like Bear Bryant was doing really well, obviously, and Bear's bonus one year was like a cigarette lighter or something, and Rupp got a Cadillac. And that kind of was the indication, okay, this is a basketball school. So that was only 70 years ago, but I think the perception is at least still there.
It's a basketball school.
It is.
But it has a good football program. Good. But it's a basketball school.
An increasingly legitimate football program that's, yeah. I mean, they're starting the year ranked, I think, for the first time. So, but yes, it is.
However, if football was on a two-game postseason losing streak, the fans would not be losing their marbles the way they are in basketball, where they're angry with John Calipari because we ain't as good as we used to be. And there's, I mean, Cal's won one title there. He probably should have won another. You know, he had a 38-0 team. He probably should have won that year. He probably should have won when he had DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. He probably could have won. Maybe they could have won it in 2020. There were real shots that they didn't get done. But John Calipari has been great for Kentucky basketball. Make no mistake. So you have that. Cal is correct, in my opinion. It is a basketball school.
100%.
Why in the world you would actually say that, I have no idea. I also know this. John Calipari does not say stuff by accident.
No. Everything is a message.
Everything is calculated. Every single thing. So what is going on that he would even utter such a statement and take a crack at the football program? Because you could walk it back and say, I said that I hope they win 10, but that's a crap. What? Like, I remember Dean Smith, when the women's soccer team was winning all the championships, they had the national coach. Talk about a recruiting advantage. Yeah. He said the U.S. women's national coach, Anson Dorrance, was their soccer coach. Yeah. Might help in recruiting. Okay. Well, you want to play in the national team? Yeah. You come play at Carolina because we're going to go to the World Cup. We're going to go to the Olympics. But they were winning every year. And Dean Smith, very, very deftly, because he was such a smooth. We're not a basketball school. We're a women's soccer school, right? Very smart. No, didn't take offense to the idea. Very, very smart. Cal, there's got to be something there.
Well, here it is. The rest of the story.
Yeah, here we go. I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, but you're right.
This is good radio. That's like that.
That's it.
Wasn't that Paul Harvey? This is like that Paul Harvey guy. Yeah.
The rest of the story. Your instincts are dead on, of course. The subhead is Kentucky's Calipari demands new practice gym. That's it. He's been crabbing ever since they lost to St. Peter's with all of their opulent facilities.
Yeah.
About, you know, our facilities have fallen behind. We need more. And so he's been talking about this for 5 months now. We need better facilities. We need a better practice. The practice gym that they are in is like, I don't know, 7 years old or
Kraft
something.
Kraft Center or something, isn't it called? Yeah. Or that's a football one.
No, it's the Joe Kraft Center Wildcat Lodge Agogo. And it's freaking ridiculously fantastic, but it's not
good enough.
It was good
enough for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it was. It was good enough for Carl Towns.
With those rings crooked. All that money needs to go to NIL now. Forget the facilities, man. All that money needs to go to NIL.
Enough with the facilities. Pay your players.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we got crooked rims. That's why we lose to St. Peter's. Yeah, St. Peter's, which, like, they got to take, like, transfer three buses just to get to their, like, outdoor playground in Jersey City to play.
Oh, boy. So that's why Stoops is firing. And I will say, like, Stoops in Kentucky, it was a very slow facility build there, especially with their indoor thing. They had one of the early indoors, and it just stayed the same for 25 years probably, and then they finally upgraded it. So I guarantee Stoops is seeing that and is like, wait a minute now. Come on. Let's not. So, fascinating little development in Kentucky.
Ah, ongoing saga. We love it when millionaires fight. Cal versus Stoops. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Good for Stoops not backing down. Cal always up to a little mischief.
Yeah.
I think he's feeling good about his team, too. That tells me right now, I don't know what the Vegas odds are in the Cats, but when Cal is doing a little chirping in August, he thinks he's got a team.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, everything I've heard is they are loaded. And the other tell there was, okay, right, in August, like early August or maybe late July, they scheduled a game at Gonzaga. You think he's doing that with a bad team?
Well, no. He went to Spokane Arena, didn't he?
Well, yeah. No, they wouldn't go to the kennel. They wouldn't go on campus to the kennel. But still, you don't call Gonzaga, given where Gonzaga is right now, and say, hey, let's play, and we'll come to you mostly,
right,
unless you
right.
feel like you've got the goods.
Yeah, I would I'd check the futures on when Cal, and look at the thing about Cal Pari is he knows what a good team is. Like, he knows what one looks like, and he knows when one doesn't look like. So if he's talking, he's got something. He had taken that fight thinking, now granted, they never would have seen St. Peter's coming last year, but this could be a good time. All right, that's a good one. All right, couple stories we got to get to.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, we discussed the Loch Ness Monster being real.
Yep.
A sighting of the Loch Ness Monster, okay? Turns out a recent sighting of the Loch Ness Monster turned out to be an escaped alpaca going for a swim. If you're unaware of what an alpaca is, and I had to look it up, it is a cameled mammal from South America.
Yeah, it's basically a
species of South American cameled mammal.
Yeah,
it's like a long-necked goat. It kind of looks.
It was alpaca was the one on that the really funny show.
The movie
Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove.
Well, that too. Yeah, that was one. I'm not thinking of that one. I was thinking of the one with the weird kid and he feeds the alpaca. Anyway, all right, moving on.
The alpaca went for a swim. And these guys said it was it turns out a herd of the South American mammals had escaped from a nearby enclosure and decided to go for a swim. One of them had its long neck protruding, and it set off the global excitement about the Loch Ness Monster being real, including our podcast.
Napoleon Dynamite is the movie.
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite.
Right. Yeah, he feeds alpaca. I think he has the alpaca next thing he has it as like a pet or something. Classic film.
Yes. Excellent movie. One of the few movies I've actually seen.
Uncle Rico alone. He played some football.
I'm going to have to watch that now tonight or something.
Throw the ball over that mountain.
I can throw the ball over that mountain. I kept queuing up that meme from every time Matthew Stafford was playing last year, because he was just so excited to show LA how far he could throw a football.
How much you want
to
make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Like once a game, he'd just throw the ball. Like Cooper Kupp would be running as fast as he could, and Stafford just throw like 85 yards.
Yeah,
Cooper Kupp would be like, oh my God, dude, I can't get there.
That was also Drew Lock like 19 times a game for Denver.
Yeah,
not that I'm bitter. Yeah.
All right. So we apologize for the error, exciting all of you that the Loch Ness Monster was real. It turned out as an escaped alpaca. Anyway. All right. Big story in, you know, we're fans of love and relationships, of course. We have this story here from Japan. A serial dater. This guy was Takashi Miyagawa. We'll just call him Takashi. Takashi Miyagawa. He has been arrested in Japan, not for really any known crime, except he was seeing 35 different women at the same time. He was dating 35 women.
Wow.
There's only 30 days in a month. You can't just date them like once a month, right?
It's exhausting.
Exhausting. I mean, like, this guy was putting work in. Look at People's Court, whether this should even be. Now, I, you know, this is not Taro Tanaka, who Pat and I famously about 1 year ago had a tremendous sushi meal with in Japan and is a bachelor. But I don't think Taro, my old friend Taro, could pull off a 35-woman juggle. This is like America's Got Talent. They're throwing like chainsaws and flaming like things. Eric, how do you juggle this? 35 women he was dating at one time, and he pretended to be serious about relationships with all of them. And then, as is the custom, he would tell them that his birthday was coming up. And apparently it's sort of the custom in Japan that the woman, if I'm reading this right, if I'm reading this wrong, yes, I know very little about Japanese dating customs. So, you know, shoot me, man. I'm trying. The custom is that if, you know, you're in a courtship, that the female would provide a gift card or a gift, birthday presents, clothes, even cash. That sure runs back to some patriarchal thing back in the day. Right. So this guy was claiming, like, my birthday's February 2nd to one girl, and then my birthday's February 3rd to the next. And he raked in 665 of whatever the Japanese currency is, a bunch of money worth of birthday presents. And then the women figured it out and all told on each other. And then they filed a complaint, and he's actually been arrested and is under investigation for fraud.
Wow.
So here is my question. Can you date or be legitimately in a serious relationship with 35 women at one time? Or was this guy just trying to scam the money off them? Although, albeit, this is harder work than I would think most of these
regular jobs. I know, but $600? That's not worth it for $600.
It was, it's not $600. I don't know.
Oh, it's probably more than it's.
Oh, it might be, no, it's 665 pounds. I don't know. The Daily Mail's got it. I can't confirm.
Either way, that doesn't seem like a ton of money. But something tells me he was interested in it. He was in it for something else, you know? Just kind of leave it at that.
You need a lot of energy for that. That's, I mean, that's thing, 35. What is this, Will Chamberlain of Tokyo?
How old is this guy? He's released his
39.
Age. Wow.
39 years old.
Wow, I'm 38.
He's taking blue pills
then.
Yeah.
You have to put a little bit of effort in to make those women believe you actually care, right? I mean, are you just sitting there like all night? All right, I got to text Betty, and then I got to text Susan, and then I got to text, know, I mean, like, this is too much work. I'd almost get him. You know what? I'd arrest him just for that, for giving himself too much to do.
This is the Daily Mail story. So it has pictures of him. I don't know. Seems like a good look, good enough guy. He's got a nice jacket on here. He's got a cool haircut, like the... Okay. What's that pop group that's really popular? He's got kind of that kind of cut. And then they have the picture of four of the women, but they blur out their photos. Because, the victims. Well, they're victims.
They're the victims. Victims of birthday fraud. I mean.
35. This guy's like, I have trouble making rent. You know, global inflation. It's got to be big in Tokyo. Everything's expensive over there.
I mean, you wake up, it's like, all right, it's August 3rd. Happy birthday. Thanks. Yeah, thank you very much. Who is this again? Like, you got to remember who you told the birthday to and what you told him the birthday was.
This guy's clearly got talent, drive, organizational skills, ambition. He's good in sales. He could make his money some other way.
Yeah.
I think Ross is on a point there. There might be more to this than just cash. 35 women are really mad at him, though.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I mean, the authorities. I don't know that you should be arrested for this, but I'm going to not die on that hill. So
they can invite him to a birthday party and I'll beat the hell out of him.
They should have set him up.
Brilliant idea.
This is a movie, right? This is a rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It is.
It does sound like a weird reality show, too. Yeah, like one of the weird reality shows my wife would watch or something, like Love Island or one of those weird things.
Good God. All right, final story here. Pat, what were you doing yesterday? And were you at the enormous Bud Light truck spill that unleashed like 1,000 cans of Bud Light on the side of an interstate in Kentucky. How quickly did you drive down there?
That is,
or are you just too snooty of a beer fan to even take free, albeit free, but highly shook up Bud Lights? An 18 wheeler containing Bud Light crashed and Bud Lights went freaking everywhere.
Wetzel, I ain't crossing the street for Bud Light. Yeah. So forget it. Much less getting in my car and driving it. That's like 12 to 15 minutes from where I live. But no, I was not going to go scavenge Bud Light on the side of the road. Forget it.
If a Bud Light truck crashed in front of your house, would you go outside into your front yard and take the free Bud Lights?
No.
How far would you drive?
Just a horrible person.
How far would you drive if a Sierra Nevada truck spilled Sierra out Nevada. Somewhere? Yeah. How
if it's
far
within a day's drive, yeah. I'm there.
24-hour drive, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Forced march, I'll be there for that, but not for Bud Light. No. No, sir. I may be a horrible person. No.
You're a bad person. Yeah. You know, all the people that are calling and complaining that we're too mean and we're not nice to this and not nice to this guy and that league and this. They're right.
They are right. We are mean.
You're a
me,
bad person.
Wait a minute. No.
I'm just a nice guy. I'm not the, you know, I'm just a nice guy. And there were people from Kentucky just descending. What happened to all the cans of beer?
Somebody did hearken and say that this is like the Bud Light Bandits fantasy. Remember that dude that stole like 5 cases of Bud Light from Dallas? Yeah, this is, I mean.
Fort Worth. Like they never caught him.
No.
Never caught. He had the longest arms. He had that. He would like, this is going to be the second Anthony Davis reference. Or how about we'll go Tayshaun Prince if we're keeping Kentucky reference. He had the length, the wingspan of Tayshaun Prince, and he was able to carry 5 cases of beer out of a gas station in Fort Worth, Texas, and made a run for it. That guy was all arms.
Oh yeah. He was a hero. But no, I mean, I would assume like that was a very popular spot on the Gene Snyder Freeway where all that beer came to rest. I don't know. I have not heard any resolution of that. Like how much they recouped and how much any other, you know, concerned passersby might've absconded with, but it does remind me, I know this about that area, okay? One time I hit a deer when I was coming back from covering a Indiana basketball game. Deer's on the side of the road, car crumpled. I go into the convenience store. I have to walk like a half a mile, and I walk in there, and I'm like, hey, can I use your phone? This is before cell phone days. I hit a deer. Guy walks up to me and says, you going to keep the deer?
Where's the deer?
Yeah.
Well, in other words, condition is it in?
They're going up to the driver. You going to keep the beer? That's
I guarantee people want to know. Venison and eggs is pretty good. I think that beer got snatched quickly. If I know anything about the Commonwealth, they got after it. Pat is just too snooty for that, but whatever. All right, that's our show. We had to clear all that up. We'll be back early next week. Season kicking along, and appreciate everyone. Continue to listen, subscribe, tell your friends about us, share us on social media. We will talk to you later.